He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
When is President Obama going to make that phone call? You're listening to our official BB Obama congratulatory call clock. It's been 26 waking hours and counting, and still no call of congratulations from the White House to the Prime Minister of one of our closest allies, Israel. Lots of other people have called. Prime Minister of Canada made the phone call saying congratulations. Prime Minister of Great Britain made the phone call saying congratulations. Nothing from the White House yet. We're going to stay on top of this. We will report on the phone call when and if it happens. Good morning. Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera today, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio high above Madison Square Garden. It is now 7 minutes, going on 8 minutes after 10 o'clock. The phone number to call in anytime you are so inspired is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. What a baby the president is today, pouting in the Oval Office because Benjamin Netanyahu won re-election as Israeli prime minister. Still, no traditional congratulatory phone call from President Obama to the newly reelected leader of one of our nation's closest allies. President Obama acting like a spoiled brat in a dangerous crush-your-arm-stamp-your-feet temper tantrum. The president who would not meet with Netanyahu when he was here to speak to Congress because he thought, as you remember, it was improper to talk to him because it would influence an election. But then he has hypocritically done everything in his power to influence that election by telegraphing the president's disdain for Netanyahu in action, envoys, and a White House whisper campaign. And now the president doesn't have the class to just pick up the phone and attempt to mend fences or just say congratulations. His big thing, if you remember when he ran for office, was I'll talk to anybody. I'll negotiate with Iran. I'll negotiate with North Korea. I'll talk to our enemies because that's how you bring about peace. Apparently, he doesn't talk to our allies, or at least those he considers a personal enemy. He's not thinking of the country. He's thinking of himself. I don't like him, so I'm not making the phone call. So we'll talk with Iran. He'll open up discussions with Syria. But with one of our closest allies, no phone call. What a dangerous, childish game. 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. By the way, when the president in Sri Lanka won re-election, same day, boom, hours, congratulatory phone call, and then a presidential message. Israel, because he personally doesn't like him, nothing. By the way, John Kerry did call. So, by the way, did Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney, a host of other politicians. Sarah Palin called. And this I will admit to you. The phone call itself, not a big deal. It's just a phone call. But it's not. It means so much more. Politico is reporting today that in the wake of Netanyahu's decisive re-election, the Obama administration is considering lifting the longtime shield that we have given to Israel against international pressure. Remember, we blocked everything in the UN that seemed hostile to Israel. That may stop. Not only that, but the Obama administration is reportedly willing to consider sponsoring a UN resolution to force a Palestinian state through the UN without Israeli input. So what does this all mean? 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. It certainly seems that we, and when I say we, I mean the Obama administration representing the U.S., has decided to ally itself with Iran and with the Palestinians over the objections of Israel. And that's not to say I disagree with the talks with Iran, even though I don't trust Iran. And it's not to say I disagree with the two-state solution. But it's not going to work without the input of Israel. They have the most to lose. And so to leave Israel out of the process because of a personal vendetta and try to force an agreement on them after the prime minister has promised to win re-election that there would be no Palestinian state while he was in office is ridiculous. And that's why the phone call, and that's why a relationship is important. Put your past differences to the side for world peace and for U.S.-Israeli relations. And all of this that we're talking about, the president is attempting to do without Congress, without our allies, working with our previous enemies and the U.N. We are treading on some dangerous ground here. And if the president keeps heading down this path, he is going to create a greater divide and more violence in the Middle East and a greater divide in this country as well. Also, what does this say to our other allies around the world when we disagree with you, not us as a country, when one man, when the president feels slighted, disagreed with, he will dump you. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Rick from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, Larry, let's be clear.
All right, Stan from Forest Hills.
Hey, it's Thursday, it's Larry Menti. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Stan, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Good morning, my friend. Look, let's get real, Larry. Come on. I remember when Jimmy Carter was president, and he was negotiating with Egypt. And he was working with Sadat and Begin. Begin and him didn't get along at all. They didn't like each other. He was from the Ilgun. But they got to work together, and they did. And I believe the president knows the situation. But he doesn't have to make the call after what happened here during the protocol when BB came to Congress.
Yeah, he does.
So I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, no, Stan, he does have to make the phone call. Because the phone call, it's protocol. He doesn't represent himself. He represents us. He doesn't get to make these decisions.
We know that. Come on, we know that. But what Netanyahu did has irked many in this country coming here and pulling that little stunt. You don't do that. So I think the...
Yeah, Stan, look, he was invited by Congress, and he had a chance to help his own political career and to defend his country. What's he going to do, say no? If you were in Israel, wouldn't you be irked if he said no?
Look, there are always situations where if you do something like that, there's always going to be responses to it. I believe the president will make the call, say congratulations. But about the Palestinian state, Bibi has put himself in a situation that's going to be tough for early Middle East peace, even with the election, by putting himself saying, well, we're not going to have a Palestinian state. I think he's hurt himself in that regard, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Stan, for the phone call. We will see what happens. There hasn't been one yet, so I don't think he was going a bridge too far by saying that. And certainly, even though he says he's been for it before, and he's even put a Palestinian state on the table, it certainly wasn't one that the Palestinians thought was even worth considering. We will talk more about this, and our countdown clock for the phone call will continue. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. It is our BB Obama call clock. When it happens, you will hear it here first. Well, maybe not first, but we'll get to it. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
77 WA. The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
It is the BB Obama call clock, 26 hours and counting, and still no phone call from the White House to the re-elected Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, as the president crosses his arms, stamps his feet, and pouts because he does not want him re-elected. And in the balance, U.S.-Israeli relations, which is at, well, the lowest it's been in decades now. All because two men personally don't like each other, and our president can't put that behind him and just make a traditional phone call. It's now 8:24 on 77 WABC. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studios. The numbers to call in, 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Mark from Edison, New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi, Larry. This is Mark. And I just want to mention that with President Obama, to me, and by the way, I'm a Jewish Republican, so I want to mention where my prejudice might be. But to me, this is a case of we elected a president, not a dictator. And when he doesn't seem to get his way, he does pout, and he does seem to find every way that he can to bypass Congress. I mean, if Congress wanted to have a two-solution whatever, fine. Let him do it. Well, maybe not fine, but that would be, I'll say, the way that it goes. But he can't just dictate whatever he wants, whether it be domestic or foreign. And it's getting a little bit, you know, first time we elected him, okay, fine, I didn't vote for him. But the second time, I say you can't underestimate the stupidity of the American people.
Yeah, well, here you go, Mark, and thanks for the phone call. First of all, where Congress comes into play is not on the two-state solution. That should be between the Palestinians, the Israelis, and the U.N., but the Israelis have to be involved in that. And for the president to think he can go to the U.N., which is being reported now, that President Obama wants to go to the U.N. and get them to impose a two-state solution without Israel being involved is ludicrous. But, Mark, to your point about Congress, he's trying to come up with an executive agreement. So, again, this is semantics, to dance around the Constitution. An executive agreement with Iran over a nuclear arms deal and not go to Congress because it's not a treaty. Again, ridiculous. And what is this all about? It's all about personal relationships that he can't make. He has the inability to reach out to Congress. He has the inability to reach out to our allies. He has the inability to have a personal relationship. He's great when he's on a stage. He's not so great one-on-one. And person after person who has dealt with him on an individual basis will tell you that. Even some of his closest friends will tell you they're not sure he likes them. So imagine what he's like when he disagrees with someone. And so, but the problem is he's got to be more than just an individual with these insecurities he seems to have. He's president of the United States. He's our representative. And these personal grudges put us in a dangerous situation. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. John from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry. It'd be funny if BB let that call go into his voicemail. You know, I could just see Obama's face as that happens. I really enjoy listening to you, Larry.
Thank you.
And I just want to make two quick points.
Sure.
The first one being that WikiLeaks showed when Snowden did that, that a lot of the Arab countries are hoping Israel takes out the sites. And I bet you Russia and China are hoping so, too. Russia made their money selling them all that junk, but they would love to see Israel take out the threat. And that's the thing. I'm wondering why it's taking so long. But here's the other point. The Iranian kids in that green movement, they have all those young people. They're going to be waving and blowing kisses at those Israeli jets when they see them coming. And I bet you, I'm making a prediction right now, that we might see the green movement that Obama purposely ignored in 2009 hit the streets and see the Israelis as liberators.
Yeah, the Green Movement is an interesting point, John. Thanks for the phone call. It's an interesting point, and I think that's what has forced Iran to the table as much as the sanctions. They know what's happening in their own country, and that has not gone away, even though the media in this country has ignored it, and even though the administration has ignored it. It is a real movement in there. As far as the jets from Israel, you know, look, I hope that doesn't happen. I'm not even against, really, engaging in talks with Iran. I think the president's right on that, that we should be able to talk with anyone. That doesn't mean we have to sign an agreement with them. It doesn't mean he gets the only say in that. It has to go through Congress. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't engage our allies when we do that. He's not the only one that gets to talk. If you say you want to talk to our enemies, that's fine. But you don't exclude our allies. Tom from Long Island, you're in 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry, I'm recently retired from the intelligence community, and I'll tell you, it does scare me a bit because I see everything through the prism of intelligence sharing. Number one, our biggest ally for giving us information that goes back and forth is a tie between Israel and the UK, and then it goes down to Australia. There's a pecking order. The Israelis have given us so much information, tipped us off on so many different things. I can't believe the destruction this one man, this president, who's so narcissistic, cannot even pick up the phone to congratulate the Israeli prime minister. I'm telling you, I can't believe the hard work the men and women have done to establish and make that relationship what it is, and to watch it probably just disintegrate.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for the phone call. It's a great point, and thank you so much for your service as well. We'll continue with this conversation in just a few minutes, and we'll continue our countdown clock to the phone call from President Obama to Benjamin Netanyahu on 77 WABC.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it, Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Benjamin Netanyahu still waiting on that phone call from President Obama, and we will continue with our Obama-BB congratulatory call clock. When it happens, you'll hear it here first. It has not happened yet, and we're going on hour 27 in the diss by President Obama of Benjamin Netanyahu after he won re-election, even though President Obama and the White House did everything they possibly could to prevent that from happening. The two just don't like each other. But what a baby that he can't get past that and just give him a phone call and say, hey, congratulations, let's work together in the interest of both of our countries, even in their own self-interest. This is just self-destructive. And it's destructive of any chance. He wants to be this leader that brings peace to the world. He can't do it without engaging Israel. It's just not going to happen. He can't, even though he thinks he can do this without Israel, without Congress, without the rules of the UN in some estimations, he can't. Jonathan from Brooklyn, you're in 77 WABC.
Hi, how are you? Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Look, first, it's refreshing to actually hear someone who actually really gets it. But I think that there are several points, several takeaway points, I think, from this. Number one, it's not just that President Obama is narcissistic. He's really shown himself incapable of engaging in sort of a dialectic with other individuals of the other side. He's not just divisive, it's that he believes in the supremacy of his own ideas and his own intellect.
That's a great point, Jonathan. So what you're saying is he gets an F in diplomacy.
Correct, correct. And therefore, and that's really the hallmark of despotism, actually, when you really think about it. And that's sort of the problem with the left. But I think there's something a little bit more deep going on over here, in that I believe that deep down he actually believes that this is his legacy, to sort of impose this two-state solution. And it's to be an excuse. It's not just about him versus Bibi. It's not just a personal grudge. I think it goes beyond that. And I think the takeaway for Israelis is that they need to consider whether they need to just basically tie themselves to the U.S. as the only supporter, or just broaden their horizons potentially to other potential international support, which is not really that great out there at this point, but they definitely need to start thinking about that, because if you can get someone like President Obama to come in and start trying to impose this in the U.N. and really use the bully pulpit to make Israel a pariah and buy into the whole, you know, divestment strategy and whatnot, then you really need to start thinking about whether you can just rely on the U.S. as your sole supporter, really.
No, it's a great point, Jonathan. Thanks for the phone call. But remember, President Obama isn't the only player in Israeli-U.S. relations. And that's been very clear. You know, we keep talking about this phone call, and only because it's symbolic of deeper problems. The phone call itself isn't a big deal. It's silly that he's not doing it. It makes the president look like a baby, like a spoiled brat. But many other phone calls have been made from members of Congress, from senators, pledging their support to Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. And his connection to Congress may be more important than his connection to the White House. So when you say, talk about the U.S. divesting itself, or Israel divesting itself from its relationship with the U.S., we're not there yet. We're nowhere close to that. The president, even though he believes he can, cannot act alone on this. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Mark from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, I agree with Obama. Obama should not congratulate him, because BB came to our country and deceived the American people, deceived the Congress, and deceived the whole world by not mentioning that he was going to stop. Hello?
I'm right here. I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. That he was going to stop any talks with a Palestinian state. Let me just tell you real quick. Ever since John F. Kennedy, every Israeli prime minister has deceived the United States, whether it had to do with Israel's secret nuclear weapons, whether it had to do with Israel attacking a U.S. Navy ship, killing 47 Americans.
You've gone back about 60 years for that one, Mark.
There's a history involved.
Yeah, no, listen, you can't compare that to what's happened recently. Mark, thanks for the phone call, but you can't compare that to what's happened recently. Now, what Mark was saying was that Benjamin Netanyahu came here after an invitation from Congress, by the way, spoke to Congress and said nothing about not allowing a Palestinian state while he was prime minister. And so Mark and others have said that was deceptive. He should have said that then. We don't know if he even thought that then. It is very reasonable to assume that he went back to Israel and saw poll numbers and realized, if I make this statement, I'm going to win. Now, I'm sure he believes it, and I'm sure that that's what he wants, but he was able to say that and make that bold of a statement and realize he was going to win re-election and he was going to bring members of his own party in as well. And so he did it. But it's a big jump. I'm not saying you're wrong, because we don't know. I don't know. You don't know. It's a big jump to say he deceived the American public, because he should have said that in front of Congress. Mark from Connecticut, you're on 77 WABC.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
I guess, point and counterpoint, my take is pretty much what the gentleman that just was on before. Bibi Netanyahu didn't deceive anybody. He has, from his early days as a very young man in the Knesset, has always spoken about being against the two-state policy. So that should be no surprise to anyone.
Yeah, but it later in his life he did start to accept that it could be a possibility, and he's even put it on the table himself in the past. Although it doesn't seem like it was realistic when he did it, so it's not
I don't think he ever believed it. But it's
okay
for me to say. What I'd like to make is just one other point. I know you got a lot of people waiting. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I was insulted by his arrival in Washington as, you know, kind of they almost made it sound like it was the State of the Union, the gigantic applause and everything else. He insulted the United States into stating that the deal with Iran is bad. He doesn't even know what the hell the deal is. And that is completely unfair to our negotiators. I mean, is John Kerry stupid? Are our negotiators and scientists stupid? I mean, they're trying to make a deal. Is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But we should at least continue. And this whole idea that Obama is, he is probably a bit of a narcissist. I support the guy. I voted for him twice. I raised money for him. But, you know, should he make a call? It's a little petty. Maybe he should. But, you know, Bibi hasn't even...
But he has to talk to Israel. He can't ignore Israel. That's the bigger point, is that now he's not making this congratulatory phone call, but he's trying to leave them out of future processes, too, according to reports. And so that is the bigger problem. I understand the call isn't that big a deal, although it probably is insulting to Benjamin Netanyahu. But he has to make that phone call. And to your other point, he was invited here. He was invited by Congress. If you have a problem with anybody, have a problem with Congress for inviting him. But they're allowed to do that. It was made a big deal by the White House, saying that shouldn't happen. He shouldn't be allowed to come here. Who are they to say that? Congress, by our Constitution, has equal power. And what is Benjamin Netanyahu supposed to do? Not show up and defend his country? He believes what he was saying is in the best interest of his country. Is he supposed to say to everybody, hey, please don't applaud when I talk? Of course not. You can't blame him for showing up and trying to defend his country. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Still waiting for the phone call from President Obama to Benjamin Netanyahu. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera today, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in is 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. The ticking you hear is our BB Obama or Obama BB congratulatory call clock. Still waiting for that phone call to happen after Benjamin Netanyahu wins re-election as Prime Minister of Israel, and President Obama still has not called. And of course, relations are as icy as ever between the U.S. now and one of its closest allies. There's talk that the United States is going to lift the shield from Israel. That means that in the U.N. they're not going to prevent hostile resolutions against Israel anymore. Just to let you know, at the top of the hour, I do want to talk about something else. I want to talk about one of the leading black journalists in America has now come out and apologized for following the mantra, hands up, don't shoot. He says it was a lie and he apologized. Does that hurt the movement? That's coming up in a few minutes. As we await the call from President Obama to Benjamin Netanyahu that has not happened yet. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Tony from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, Larry. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Good. Listen, that is crazy. You are asking the leader of the free world to bend down to Netanyahu?
Did I say bend down? No,
after
he makes...
What he did, what Netanyahu did to Obama, you know?
What did he do? He defended his own country.
Larry, he never respects the protocol. Why?
What? Who? Whoa. Who's... What? Tony. What's the protocol? Congress invites him to speak in front of Congress, and he's supposed to say no?
No, even before, when he came to the White House, a few times he had an attitude. You know, he didn't know how to behave.
You know, he has an attitude?
During the election, you know, don't forget that, you know, he said it's not going to be two states, you know, with the Palestine. And then also, you know, he was against the 20% of the Arabs, you know, Israeli Arabs, you know, who's going to vote.
Hey, Tony, I have no idea what you're talking about. All I know is that if there is protocol, it's protocol to call when one of your allies just won re-election. The only attitude I see is by the spoiled brat in the White House who won't pick up the phone call
just to play nice with one of our allies. Oh, my goodness. Like I said, I want to talk about this change in attitude by one of the top African-American journalists in the country when we return on 7.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I'm sorry, so sorry.
A major apology today, and a surprising one at that. This is Larry Menti in today for Geraldo Rivera, broadcasting live from the NJDiet.com studio. The phone number is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Hands up, don't shoot. You heard that chant over and over again in Ferguson, Missouri. Hands up, don't shoot. We heard it here in New York as they blocked the West Side Highway, protesters did. The Brooklyn Bridge, Times Square, hands up, don't shoot. The entire movement based on a lie. The overwhelming evidence in two separate investigations is that Michael Brown never uttered those words or raised his hands in Ferguson, Missouri, before he was shot to death by Officer Darren Wilson. It never happened. It was a lie first told by Michael Brown's accomplice in knocking off a convenience store. And I know many argue, and I've had the argument here on 77 WABC, many people argue it doesn't matter. It exposed a bigger problem. No, no, no. A lie only exposes itself. There's no yeah, but after that. I bring this up this morning because Washington Post columnist Jonathan Capehart, a well-known African-American journalist who appears frequently on MSNBC, wrote a mea culpa. He says he regretted ever supporting the hands up, don't shoot rallying cry, admitting he was wrong and writing it was built on a lie. That's a quote. It was built on a lie. Good for him. It does take courage to admit you are wrong, especially when you appear on MSNBC and write for the Washington Post. But the evidence is so overwhelming that it didn't happen, that it never happened that way. You have to ask yourself, why did it take him so long? 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. You see, people wanted it to be true. They liked the story, especially the media that tripped over themselves to provide wall-to-wall coverage and others who leech on such stories for personal profit. In his piece, for those of you who are still holding on to the lie, Capehart points out three key pieces of evidence from the Justice Department investigation. And by the way, for those of you who discounted the state investigation as being biased, the Justice Department, the federal investigation, came up with the exact same conclusion when it came to the shooting. Capehart points to the overwhelming evidence that Brown punched and grabbed at Officer Wilson in the car, that Brown struggled to take the officer's gun, and finally, that the most credible witnesses, the ones that did not recant testimony, say that Brown never raised his hands and, in fact, charged the officer. Of course, the forensic evidence also supports that. Again, bravo for Jonathan Capehart. But I don't think a lot of people are willing to admit their error. They cling to the false narrative still like a binky. I've talked to them several times on the radio here. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. I'd love to talk to them again. I think the movement takes a major hit. And do you know what really ticks me off? The racism
the hypocritical racism that exists on the other side of this. The hypocritical racism that exists in those who carry the banner Black Lives Matter. There have been so many cases since Ferguson where officers have killed an unarmed black man. Many of them much more egregious than the Ferguson case turned out to be, including the tragedy in the Pink Houses in Brooklyn. There have been no marches, no protests, because the officer was white. No media coverage, no calls from the White House, because the officers were not white. An African-American police officer, a true hero, Robert Wilson III, was just buried after being gunned down at a video store in Philadelphia where he was ending his shift by buying a present for his son's 10th birthday. Two robbers armed with automatic weapons came in. Now, he diverted them away from the other customers and the clerks, a true hero. He saved lives, and he was shot dead the day before his son's 10th birthday with his gift in his hands. In Philly, they were waiting for Al Sharpton to show up. They were waiting for a message from President Obama, for protests. Nothing. Seems only some Black Lives Matter. Those who were killed by white cops. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Russell from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Page 8 of the DOJ report states that some witnesses saw Brown holding his hands up at shoulder level and then described Brown dropping his hands and charging at Wilson. So they said his hands were up, but that he also charged. It's still conflicting. There's no cross.
Because you have one, when you have eight saying it a different way and you have one saying it one way, that's not a conflict of evidence.
Yeah, Larry, I don't think truth is a statistical aggregation. This guy Capehart is saying that he's not a perfect representative for the movement, that is Michael Brown, and he's saying that because he's a buppy. He doesn't identify with the great number of blacks who are locked up in jails as prisoners and slaves in this system here. That's what we have. That's what the police were originally for, chasing slaves, right? Larry, you know that.
Yeah, but Russell, you just pivoted to another problem. I do agree with you on the incarceration rate. I would even agree with you that there are problems between the police department and the African-American community that need to be addressed. I agree with that, too. But you got to let go of what happened in Ferguson. It's a lie. You're wrong. Russell, you're wrong. And when you admit you're wrong and free yourself from that lie, you'll have a stronger argument.
You want to hear my answer?
Sure.
Okay. That goes both ways, Larry. There has never been a cross-examination. There's never been a trial. A trial would take at least a year. This is a short-circuiting of justice again, and it's what I expect from the white power structure. Thank you for listening.
Sure, Russell. You got to let go of it, man. You really do. Everybody that's holding on to what happened in Ferguson has to let go of it. There never should have been a trial. There wasn't a case. Nobody was going to take that. Eric Holder didn't take it. Nobody was going to take that case. And when you hold on to a lie and you base your argument on a lie, it exposes you. It weakens your argument. Let it go. Follow the lead of Jonathan Capehart and let it go. And look what happened after that. Darren Wilson, his life is ruined. And there's businesses still rebuilding. There's people who lost their livelihood. The state of Missouri had to spend millions on this, on police protection and rebuilding based on a lie. Because of the media and the Al Sharptons of the world who just jumped on this lie because it was expedient and it profited them. We have to let it go. And then we can really start to deal with problems. But if you base it on the lie of Ferguson, you expose your argument as being fraudulent. And when that happens, there's no way to even move forward. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-HERALDO, 77 WABC.
Larry Menti on 77 WABC, filling in for Geraldo Rivera. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. The fight over this ethics deal in Albany is fascinating. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who, by the way, has his own ethics problems, is pushing an ethics bill that he wants to apply to the Senate and the Assembly that the governor says is the toughest in the country. Only he doesn't want to be included. If you want to make it tough, include yourself, Gov. Have some integrity on this. Here's the story. The proposal requires lawmakers to disclose their outside income. True transparency. So they can't pad their own pockets with state money. Good idea. It's a great idea. But the Republicans in the Senate and the Assembly say, fine, okay, we'll do that. But if you're going to reform the legislative branch, you need to include the executive branch. And Cuomo is saying, no. Huh? You see, here's the problem for the governor. The Republicans in the legislature want the bill to include unmarried domestic partners, including Cuomo's live-in girlfriend and celebrity chef, Sandra Lee. They want her and others to disclose any money they get from the state. They want that kind of transparency. Now, if you think about it, it makes some sense. Is it a cheap shot? Sure. Does it make it wrong? No. Because what better way for a politician in office to pad their own nest than to use family members, a domestic partner, a girlfriend, a boyfriend? It makes a lot of sense that if you're going to make politicians disclose how much money they're making on the side, everybody connected with them, especially closely, especially family members, especially live-in girlfriends, should also disclose the money that they're making on the side. Shacking up with a politician shouldn't be your road to getting government contracts. And Sandra Lee is a caterer. Now, she's released a statement. This is the governor's live-in girlfriend. She's released a statement saying, this has nothing to do with me. I've never taken any government money. I'd never got any of the government contracts. Oh, okay. Huh. We'll just walk away then. Oh, it's fine. Yeah, no. I'm sure Sheldon said the same thing. Nothing to see here. Walk away. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Of course office holders should, their family and their girlfriends and boyfriends should, disclose if they're getting money, contracts, and favorable treatment from the state. Cuomo claims it is off the table because it doesn't go to the source of the problem. Well, how do we know if there isn't a mechanism to see if it could be the source of the problem? The fact that he is fighting this makes him and his girlfriend more of an issue than had he just said, okay, I got nothing to hide. Right or wrong, it makes you believe that there is something there. And taking it a step further, it makes you believe that Republicans know there is something there. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Paul from Queens, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry, that shows you how corrupt this guy really is. Him and Christie, if Christie runs for president, is going to go out the door because he shot down Astorino and he's doing deals with Cuomo. They're both corrupt. They're both got to go because if they can't disclose their family members, and that's where a lot of people make their money, these politicians, their best friends and their family members get all the money funneled through them so they don't have to tell anybody else where their money's going, our tax dollars.
Yeah, Paul, what I don't get on this whole thing is how can you say, I got to see yours, but you're not seeing mine? I got to see where you're making your money and where the connections to you are making their money, but you can't look at mine. It is ludicrous. I'm not sure how he thinks he can get away with this. Miriam in New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Miriam?
I was enjoying your show, and I have to give my input. It's sort of like, do as I say, not as I do, you know? Like, he's telling everybody to do it, but, hey, count me out.
Yeah, but he should be smarter than this.
He should be. But one other thing I wanted to just say also about Ferguson. I always say a picture is more than 1,000 words. You just have to see that video of Brown choking that store owner, a hardworking guy, choking him and then robbing the store. Now, my daughter goes to Binghamton University, and she said, Ma, the professors were pro Brown, meaning they didn't tell them that there was any robbery going on. She said, no, he didn't rob the store. I said, yes, he did. I saw it on TV.
Yeah, and Miriam... so much of it, I'm going to move on, only because we've moved on from the topic, but what she was responding to, so we can let everybody in on it, in case you weren't listening, Jonathan Capehart, one of the leading African-American columnists in the country, has come out and apologized for believing the hands up, don't shoot, and saying that the whole movement was based on a lie. And so Miriam says you just had to look at that tape to see the problem, but it was much more than that. It's forensic evidence, and it's also evidence from witnesses as well that belie what happened in Ferguson. Governor Cuomo wants to impose ethics regulations on the Senate and the Assembly in Albany, but he doesn't want those ethics regulations in his own house. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
So Governor Cuomo is proposing the toughest new ethics regulations in the country, he says, after Sheldon Silver had to be taken away. He wants to prevent sleaze in Albany, except not in the governor's mansion, except not in his house. In the Senate, he wants to stop it. True transparency in the Senate. In the Assembly, he wants to stop it. True transparency. If you're making money on the side, I want to know about it, so that you're not padding your own pockets with state money. And the Republicans said, fine, that's a good idea. Except we want to know where your live-in girlfriend gets her money. Sandra Lee, celebrity chef and caterer. Is she getting state money? And the governor says, that's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with this. And look, I'll grant you, it's kind of a cheap shot back at the governor, but it's still a good idea. What better way to get money into your household than giving it to your family or your live-in girlfriend, your wife, your husband, or your boyfriend? What better way to pad your own pocket than through those close to you? And if you don't look at that, it's not true transparency. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Robert from Connecticut, you're on 77 WABC.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander all the time, I guess. The Cuomo administration, to me, is just a disgrace. They're run almost like the Corleone family or something. that, you know, like most bullies, bullies are insecure, they're overly sensitive, and they just don't play by the, you know, the rules of the game. There's one guy in particular who's Andrew's right-hand man. He was Mario's right-hand man. And you can Google his name if you're not familiar with him. Joe Prococo. This guy's part like Tom Hagen and part Luca Brasi. If anyone criticizes the administration, this guy will basically bully them. He'll call them up and threaten them. And it's just a disgrace. They don't have to debate anybody. They don't have to disclose anything. They have a monopoly on the state, and they know it.
Yeah, Robert, you know, the mafia references aside, it just isn't, it isn't even good politics. It's not good policy. I mean, here's the thing. The Republicans outplayed him in this chess match. The Republicans outpoliticked him. And he comes off looking bad now. Had he just said, sure, you want to look at my girlfriend's finances? Fine. Put that on the table, too. But I want to look at your family's finances as well. We all should have it on the table. But the fact that he balked, the fact that he says that's not relevant, what does that lead you to believe right away? You believe, well, there's something there. Why would he not want that? Uh-oh, there's something up. And Sandra Lee, I have to say, she is the live-in girlfriend, and she has come out and said through a spokesperson they've never taken any state money. But we just can't take her word for it. I mean, she might be telling the truth, and God bless her for coming out with a statement, but that doesn't mean there may not be a bigger problem. That doesn't mean because she didn't, somebody else may. And it certainly doesn't mean anything when it comes to the hypocrisy of this governor saying everybody else has to be investigated, but don't investigate my house. 1-866-ERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Larry in Nassau, you're on 77 WABC.
Cuomo is the gift that keeps giving. First he quashes the investigation, and now this. But it's indicative of all the politicians in Washington also, who passed Obamacare and excluded themselves from having to be part of Obamacare. This has to stop. The law has to be passed. If it's good enough for us, it's good enough for the politicians that passed it. People let these politicians get away with it. It's time for people to wake up and take a stand. It is outrageous, just outrageous what is going on.
Yeah, and by the way, Larry, he's still being investigated for squashing that Moreland investigation, which he talks about now. The governor talks about, I'm going to have the toughest ethics regulations in the country. Well, this was a commission, the Moreland Commission, that was looking into ethics, and he didn't like it, seemingly didn't like where it was going, and so that was quashed. And now here he is again. Here he is again saying we need these new ethics regulations for politicians in Albany, except not me. We need to look at your finances to make sure you're not profiting, but you can't look at people close to me because that's off base. And he makes himself look pretty bad. And by the way, there's still an investigation into what he did with the Moreland Commission. So, you know, he's got some own his own problems right now. And so why should we just take his word for it that this is off base? Why should we take his live-in girlfriend's word for it that she's done nothing wrong? Doesn't everybody, I'm not saying either of them are corrupt. I don't know that. I don't know that they've broken the law. But it seems to me that every politician and every relative of a politician that's done something wrong and skirted around the law, if you went to them and said, did you do it? They'd say no. You can't, you're not going to depend on the honesty of a crook. I'm sure Sheldon Silver would still tell you he didn't do it. And so that's why you need these regulations. We can't just take his word for it and his live-in girlfriend's word for it. But anyway, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out, because it sounds to me like there's going to be a stalemate. He's not getting these ethics regulations, which are so important to him, through unless he opens up his own house to the same scrutiny. And they're going to lock heads, and especially because right now a Quinnipiac poll has come out showing that Governor Cuomo is at his lowest, 50% approve of what he's doing. He had an approval rating not too long ago of 74%. So it's bonehead moves like this that's killing the governor in Albany. And the Republicans are just outplaying him. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera. This is the first time I've been on the air since his lateness dissed Catholics and the St. Patrick's Day parade by being late. I want to expand the conversation. I know I don't want to just talk about that day. I want to expand the conversation from there because I think this shows a bigger problem with this mayor, that he doesn't care. He doesn't care about you unless you're in his core constituency, and that includes the people in the St. Patrick's Day parade and the people that were at church that day. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti on 77 WABC.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in is 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. I have not had a chance to comment on air about his lateness, the mayor of New York, and the fact that he skipped the St. Patrick's Day parade and then showed up for Mass 15 minutes late, and then he sat in the first row making more of a spectacle of himself. You know, every good Catholic knows that when you arrive late for Mass, you stand in the back or you take a seat in the back row. It's just courtesy. And then also you get to sneak out right after communion. The excuse given by the mayor, you'll remember, is that the traditional breakfast at Gracie Mansion ran late. No. It started late because you were late. And if a breakfast starts late, you skip the last coffee or the last speech or the last toast, whatever, and you make it to church on time. Man, this guy has a problem. I know there's been editorials saying that it's a medical problem. I know there's people saying he can't help it, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like Cry Me a River. Get an alarm clock or get your aides to push you out. Here's the problem. He doesn't care. It's so easily fixable. If he cared, that's the problem. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is just the latest problem in the series of missteps by this mayor. Is it the biggest? No. But does it expose an overall problem that he doesn't care what you think if you are not in the group of people he believes voted him into office and could help him win re-election? Yes. If you're not a raving progressive, if you're not gay, a minority, or a union member, with the exception of the police union, this mayor doesn't care about you or what you think, and that has created a deep divide in this city. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. And of course, this all started because he skipped the St. Patrick's Day parade because they only allowed one LGBT entrant. Now, before he skipped the parade, because they didn't allow any. Now they allow one group, and he still skips it. So how many exactly? How many gay, lesbian, bi, transsexual groups would you like, Mr. Mayor? We need your quota. We need to know how many gays have to be, or how many of the LGBT community have to be in the St. Patrick's Day parade to get your attendance. When is it worth you showing up? Because as a progressive, you certainly didn't reward a movement forward by the St. Patrick's Day committee in allowing the one group. That was a break forward. That group was like Jackie Robinson in baseball. They were the first. You don't applaud that. You don't take part in the parade because it is a step in the right direction. Because now the committee could turn around and go, well, we tried. We did what he wanted, and he still didn't show up. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. The problem with people who are chronically late is that they're telling you and I they are way more important than you and don't care what you think. A good investigative reporter should see what the mayor has been late for and what he has been on time for. Because my guess is he's not late for his meetings with Al Sharpton or public union leaders. He's late for those he does not care about and he does not believe are going to help him win re-election. It's all politics. But you see, the thing is, once you're elected, you need to be the mayor to everybody, not just those people that you think are going to get you reelected. And so I don't buy for a second this sickness, this illness, this fact that he can't help himself. I'm tired of that basically in life. I don't want to hear from people that they can't stop doing bad behavior because they have some type of affliction. And maybe it's true, but it doesn't mean you can't beat it. And one of the things this mayor has to do, as mayor and every mayor has to do, is just show up on time. By the way, it's coming up now on 28 waking hours. That's the ticking clock, and still no reported phone call from President Obama to congratulate the reelected Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll stay on top of this, although I got a feeling we're going to be waiting for a long time. This is Larry Mantey in for Gerardo Rivera on 77 WABC.